Take your Bibles. Let's go back to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter number 8 is where we are currently. If my notes are right, I believe they are, this will be message number 47 out of the Gospel according to Mark. And so we have done, I believe, the Lord's enabled us, and by His help and grace, we are doing a fairly extensive study on the life of Christ from the record that the Spirit of the Lord led Mark to perfectly write about the life of Christ. I'm thankful for His life. I'm thankful for the record of it. I liked what Brother Tim brought out this morning, that of all that we have in the record, the four gospel records of the life of Christ, there is no mention of His physical attributes as far as what color eyes He had or hair that He had or the tone of skin that He had. We assume that He likely looked like just your common average Jewish man of that day. But we don't know how tall He was. We don't know what His voice sounded like. And yet we have enough in the Word of God about Him and the things that He done and the things that He taught to have made an impact on us. And a lot of things we don't know about Jesus, but I'm thankful for the things we do know about Jesus. And what I know is Brother Tim was emphasizing this morning, what we do know from the record, the Bible record, it makes Him mighty, mighty beautiful in our eyes. There's nobody like Him. Mark chapter number 8. I've been excited to get to this portion of Scripture, and I will admit tonight that I could really, really squeeze on this a little more. If I do any more than what I'm going to attempt to do tonight, it would turn into a series all of its own. And I'm not interested in that. At this particular time, we may come back and revisit some of this as I believe it is needful. So let's stand together. We'll read our verses, what we want to cover in this next section. And it'll be different if you come to shout and worship and cry tonight, being made to feel good. You got that this morning. That's not why we're here this evening, all right? Amen. How's that for an introduction? Amen. Get ready. Amen. That's what we're saying. Get ready. Mark chapter number 8, verse number 14. The Bible said, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf." Notice what the Bible said in verse number 15. "And He charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. They reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. When Jesus knew it, He saith unto them, why reason ye? Because ye have no bread. Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your hearts yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto Him, 12. When the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They said, 7. He said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? You can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, please help us for a little while this evening, and we'll thank and bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. As you remember on last Sunday night, as we covered the previous 4 verses here in chapter number 8, verses 10 through 13, Christ has just rebuked the Pharisees. They've come to Him seeking of Him a sign from heaven. Do us a miracle. Give us more proof and more evidence that You are the Messiah, the Savior, the God of glory. The Lord, you remember, rebukes them, saying, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. And that section verses in verse number 13 ended with the Lord Jesus leaving them hastily. He left them standing where they were. He got in a boat as quick as he could, gathered his disciples, and is fleeing away from the influence, we'll see tonight, of these Pharisees and what they were spreading among the people and the influence they were having in this day. In their swift departure, we read in verse number 14 that the disciples had forgotten to resupply the bread basket and all they had between the 13 that were on the boat was one loaf for them all. It's interesting that Mark points this out. Matthew had pointed out in his record in Matthew 16 that we know thus far that many of the previous chapters have dealt in some form or fashion with bread. Even in Mark chapter number 8, it opened up the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. And Christ is going to reference that later in the text as we read tonight. The fact that they had only one loaf, they are running low again on the supply of bread. Mark points that out as that will set the stage, and no doubt, or evidently we might say, this became a matter of conversation. I can see maybe John the Beloved look over to James, his brother, and say, James, did you remember to get the bread? Did you go down to the Dollar General? You know there's a Dollar General in Jerusalem in them days, as many of them as they are everywhere. Even in the wilderness, you could have found a Dollar General on the corner somewhere. And James said, no, John, I thought Thomas was going to get the bread. And Thomas scratches his head, said, nobody told me to get the bread. And one by one, no doubt, they're conversing one with another about the bread and what they're going to eat in this journey back across the Sea of Galilee. Now, Christ is going to take this opportunity with them speaking again of hunger and a meal and supply of bread, their conversation about physical bread. And he's going to take the opportunity to give a deep spiritual lesson about leaven. That is the subject matter, and it's going to go right over the disciples' head as Mark said. Listen, they're one side, and then they're leaving and going back across the sea. They have one loaf among them. There's not enough to satisfy all of them. Christ steps up in the middle of all their conversation and says, I'm going to give you fellas a charge. Take heed, beware of the leaven. Now this goes over their head. We know this. We'll come back to verse 15 in a moment. But they began to reason among themselves, verse 16, at what Christ has said, and they were supposing that and Christ was getting on to them and chiding them because they did not have physical bread. Christ was not talking about avoiding or being aware and wary and viewing and taking heed and giving a caution about bread that had come out of the oven of a Pharisee or of a Herodian. He wasn't talking about physical bread. He was talking about spiritual bread. And yet they believed that he was rebuking them for having no physical bread. In verse 17 through verse number 22, or verse number 21 rather, as I read it to you a moment ago, Christ firmly calls them to attention. He is amazed that they have missed the spiritual lesson. It's like they only heard what they wanted to hear. They thought Christ was adding to their conversation rather than in that moment as their master, as their rabbi, as their instructor, was giving them a very, very serious lesson that they needed to take heed to. So he calls them to attention. He calls out their pettiness They're concerned for the physical and indicts them with hardness of heart. He said, do you not understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? In other words, he's just said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And now they have missed it in Christ, having already indicted that crowd with the hardness of heart. Now looks at his disciples and says, are you going to miss it? Are you not going to understand what I'm trying to say? Have you allowed your heart to become hard? Have you allowed your spiritual life to be wrapped up in pettiness and silliness and only the outward and these things for your physical journey? He reminds them of the provisions that he had made. The question or the conversation has been, what are we going to do to eat? We only have one bread, one loaf of bread. And Christ in this text, he calls them to remember. Have you forgotten? Do you not remember the end of verse number 18? Have you not already seen? Have you not already heard? Have you not already experienced the provisions of God? While you're worried about the physical, how many fragments and baskets were left over when I fed the 5,000? And in that moment, they had to be honest and say, Lord, there were 12. And then he said, and how many? Y'all remind me. You tell me how many baskets had been left over when I fed the 4,000. And they had to admit, Lord, there were 7 baskets of fragments full. And what the Lord is telling them, I'm going to take care of you physically. But you better get some understanding and you better get some spiritual discernment about where you are headed and what is out here spiritually that could destroy your walk with God in this new life that I've given you. And he reminds them that he is the one providing for their physical needs and then challenges their spiritual discernment about the charge that the Lord has just given them. Amen. Now that's the context in a nutshell. What is this spiritual thing that the Lord has given to them? What is this? He's trying to reel them back in, tender their heart to, open their eyes to, their ear to, their understanding to. What is it that he wants them to discern? Now let me make this statement. Christ knew that it was imperative. It was imperative that they get a hold of his charge, and it is twofold, and it's very interesting to me how then it is worded in Mark and in Matthew and in other places where the Lord would say similar things. Here is the charge. It's twofold, Brother Mike. Take heed, number one, and number two, he said, beware. Take heed and beware. I want to say that is imperative, and Christ is using force. When you study behind the words behind this, you'll find that the Lord is being emphatic. It is an imperative statement. It is something the Lord is passionate about. Fellas, you need to understand. You see, he's just had an encounter with some of these same crowd of people. He's just, my friend, been rejected again. He's watching what the Pharisees are doing to try to destroy his ministry, and he knows they're seeking to destroy his life. And the Lord is not hungry for physical bread, but he's meditating on those spiritual dilemmas that are coming the disciples' way, things that they need to be on the watch for and on guard about. And so he raises in the midst of their conversation and says, you better get a hold of this. Take heed and beware. Notice, and it's again, it's interesting to me when I studied this out, and when you study the phrase take heed, it means literally to stare at. to stare at, to discern clearly, or to step up and attend to. While the next word and the next part of the charge, beware. Listen, Liz, tell me if it's not similar to that of take heed. The word beware means to look at, to observe or inspect. It means to watch from a distance. So the Lord is saying, can we say this? Take heed, stare at it, fellas. Fellas, beware, look at it. He's telling them to look at it and look at it again, and don't take your eye off of these matters that we're going to look at tonight. That the Lord is saying, these are cautions. These are cautions. You need to take heed. You need to beware. You need to be on guard about some things that are out there. You need to be watching it. Watch it from a distance. Keep it a long ways away from your life. Don't let it get near you. Don't let it get in you. And you need to take heed and beware. Now, we're living in a generation of religiondom that has forgot commands that we are to take heed and beware of our own spiritual well-being. Can I make this statement tonight? Where you are spiritually is your responsibility. I need to say that again. Where you are spiritually is your responsibility. If, my friend, there are things that are distracting you, and it's your responsibility to rid that out of your life. If there are things that are drawing you away from walking with God and living a spiritual life and living the Word of God, that is your responsibility to take heed and to beware. And in a day where it seems like everybody says anything goes, we don't have to beware or on guard. If I feel like this or that or whatever, I am, I am. And it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. The Lord said, your master said that you are to take heed and beware. Amen. And I say every now and then we need to be cautioned about some matters. Now, what is at hand tonight? What is at hand tonight? I think both of these cautions, take heed, beware, when we study this verse, they are both centered upon the matter of leaven. The matter of leaven. Take heed. Beware of the leaven. Now, you understand this. You have been taught this. You've heard me preach it. You've heard me preach it many times. You've heard other preachers preach it. If you've been saved 10 years, you've heard every preacher nearly you've ever heard reference the fact that leaven in the Word of God, it is always spoken of in the negative light. In the scripture, you'll find that it represents sin. And in the immediate context in which Christ is bringing it up to his disciples, and they are to take heed and to beware of leaven, it really is representative not just of sin, but of evil influences that are trying to make their way into the disciples' spiritual life to corrupt them. Amen. Beware, take heed of the leaven. You see, leaven tonight, it is something that I guess we would know it best of all when it comes to the baking of bread. Most bread is leavened bread, and they put leaven inside of the bread dough, and it doesn't take but just a small amount, and it begins to spread. And when you cook it, that's why when you bring it out, it rises. Amen. And there ain't nothing better in all the world, amen, than hot, fresh bread, amen, that is warm and soft, and you pull it out and you slice it open and you put that, amen, and old-fashioned butter on it, amen, and sink your teeth into it, and you go, boy, that's some of the best I've ever had. Leaven is an unseen influence. You can't see it. You can't separate it from the loaf. It has made its way. It grows and has an influence, an unseen influence that even in the smallest amounts is effective at consuming the whole. Now you got to get this or you're going to miss the point of the message tonight. Take heed, beware of the leaven. John, Peter, and James, you need to understand there are some influences that are moving around the countryside. There are some doctrines and attitudes and spirits and things in which people are living, ways in which people are living, that you need to take heed and beware of and watch from a distance and stare at and keep your eye on and make sure you do not allow that unseen influence into your life. Oh boy, I feel like preaching right here. Amen. Why? Somebody said, well, why? Well, 1 Corinthians 5 and in verse number 6, and the Apostle Paul writing the church at Corinth, a church in an allowed fornication, the likes of which was not even named among the Gentiles in that day, to come into their church and pervade in the church, and they had refused to deal with it and to put it out and exercise church discipline against those that were guilty. The Apostle Paul said to them, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And Paul was reminding them that sin and that the influence of that fornication and the overlooking of that sin and the lack of heart to deal with that sin and to put that brother out was evidence that there was an unseen influence going on in that church and was corrupting the whole of the congregation. Amen. Paul would deal with this again in Galatians chapter number 5, where he would begin to write about liberties that we have in Christ, and we're not bound to the keeping of the law, and we're not judged and condemned by the law when we stand in Christ. We have liberty, not license, to go sin and do whatever we want. We have liberty to live the life that Jesus saved us to live. And in the book of Galatians, you understand there was a sect of group and a crowd known as the Judaizers. And the Judaizers had come in and they were trying to carry them back away into the law and demand circumcision and to take away the liberty that Christ had given to those in their newfound faith. Here's what Paul said in Galatians 5 and in verse number 8, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He made a statement in the church at Corinth. He made it in the church of Galatia that you need to understand it doesn't take much leaven to have an influence on your church and in your life and in your home. Take heed, beware of the leaven. It only takes the smallest amount. Began to spread into your spiritual well-being, have its effect, and corrupt everything that Christ has done for you. Amen. Amen. Can I say tonight, we ought to leave the leaven alone. That's what I want to preach on for a minute tonight, on leave the leaven alone. Leave the leaven alone. Watch it. Watch over your spiritual life like your spiritual life does depend upon it. Because it does, you can't afford. Amen. You can't afford to bring in the leaven that Christ has in mind. You can't afford to allow evil influences in and around you, whatever they may be. And Christ has a lot of things in mind. I'll show you in a moment. And he's telling them it doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take 50 gallon drum full of leaven to ruin your life. It only takes a little leaven. Leave the leaven alone. Leave it alone. In a day where people want to see how close they can get to the line. In a day where they want to see how much can I get by with, how much can I take, and how much can I do without it messing up my life. Christ said, take heed and beware. Get away from it. Watch out. Keep your eyes peeled wide open. It's not worth it. Leave the leaven alone. Child of God, I'm telling you tonight, leave the leaven alone. Now, it's interesting to me when I study this, when it comes to our spiritual life, that we understand the life we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to live it unleavened. I think I had four responses, two of them come from one person. Y'all think I don't listen. Amen. I listen to everything y'all say. I watch every head nod and shake and arm cross. Amen. I listen to y'all. Y'all listen to me. Your spiritual life in Christ is to be unleavened. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, he tells them, your glorying is not good. No, you're not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. In Christ there is no leaven. That is the purpose of the law, that in Exodus chapter number 12 and the giving the commandment of Passover, that the Lord said for 7 days, when you eat your bread, there's not to be any leaven in your house. Get the leaven out. You're getting ready to come into a holy day and to worship the Lord. And he's going to bring deliverance and he's going to set you free from bondage. But the Lord said, if you do not practice getting the leaven out of your home, he said, that soul and that home is going to be cut off. He said, whether they're born to the Israelites or whether they're strangers in the land, and one that thinks they can play around with leaven and keep leaven in their home and keep some peeled back because they don't like the flat bread and they don't like the unleavened cakes. They want something to swell and something friend to grow, and they want the fermentation that the leaven brings. The Lord said, even under the law, by pig. Sure, and that man is not fulfilling what Christ expects of him. Right. It's our job to put, if we have leaven, to put it out. And when we put it out, we're to take heed, beware, and leave it alone. Amen. 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 That's good, Pastor. That's real good. Thank you for loving us enough to tell us. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. He's not talking about the Passover physically. He's talking about your spiritual life. Christ is our Passover. We don't sit down in the Passover time on the Jewish calendar and cook our lamb and our unleavened cakes and all that went into that. And that's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying every day you live, you're to live a spiritual life. You're to be without leaven. You're to leave the leaven alone. Understand. And that Christ is our Passover. And we're to keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness. Amen. Notice what he said. Are y'all there in 1 Corinthians 5:8? But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. Purity, holiness, amen, and truth. Sincerity means literally purity of life. Be sincere, to have no hypocrisy. That, my friend, we are walking with Christ. We are doing the best we can. Take heed and to beware. Put out that, my friend, gets in us, and establish a walk with God that is real and that is vibrant and that is victorious and is blessing us spiritually. And he said, if you're going to do that, your life has got to be a mirror of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. Amen. Leave the leaven alone. Now, this is where if we squeezed on this too much, it would develop into just weeks and weeks and weeks, maybe months of preaching. Go back to your text. Are y'all with me now?
Amen.
Amen. I feel good about it. Mark chapter number 8. Notice what he said now, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven. Now, what I want you to understand is that he's going to get very, very specific about the leaven that they're to take heed and beware of. Number one, and in this text, he said, the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. The companion text to this is found in Matthew's gospel, chapter number 16 and verse number 6. Here's the way Matthew recorded it. It's not a, Brother Mike, we know this. This is not an error with our King James Bible. Mark referenced the Pharisees and Herod. But notice what Matthew added or talked about or uncovered that Jesus had. He said, Matthew 16, 6, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, there they are again, and of the Sadducees. When the companion texts are laid out, Matthew 16, 6, with Mark chapter number 8 and in verse number 15, here's what we find that these texts, they're dealing specifically with three types of leaven that Christ would have us leave alone. What are they? Let's name them: the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod, or we would say the leaven of the Herodians. These were the three main groups of influence in the days of the Lord Jesus in the land of Israel. These three groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, when you study their background, there's scriptural references we can run tonight. But these three groups, they weren't in alignment one with the other, except for their hatred, disdain, and desire to destroy Christ and all that belonged to him.
Amen.
Amen. Christ is heavy, burdened for the spirituality of his disciples, knowing that if they do not get a hold of this, if they're not willing to understand, if their eyes will not see, their ears will not hear, if their heart will not be tender to what he is preaching, that the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees and the leaven of the Herodians is eventually going to have an influence in their life, and they will not be what Jesus has saved them to be. He is telling them, leave it alone. Let me break it down, each of them tonight, just as quick as I can. I don't know how quick I can do it. I'm going to try to do it real quick. The leaven of the Pharisees. Of the three groups, this is the one that gave the Lord Jesus Christ more headache, heartbreak, and ultimately, along with the Sadducees and the Herodians to a smaller degree, they, to the greater degree, are going to be the human group, the human instrument that is going to lead about the very death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate him, and they hate him terribly. They don't like anything he says. They don't like anything he does. Nothing he does is good enough for them. It doesn't matter that he's helping those that are in need. It doesn't matter that, my friend, he is being a blessing to so many. The fact that he is violating every one of the traditions of their elders, from the washing of their hands to the activities that he done on the Sabbath, he was a thorn in their side, and they were a thorn in his side, because the Lord, a man, counted what they believed and how they lived to be leaven. Amen. The leaven of the Pharisees. If you're writing notes, write it down this way. This is the leaven of externalism. And it's a leaven that's still around to the very hour in which I'm preaching tonight. It's interesting, the very term, the very name that they embrace and pride themselves in carrying, the Pharisees. Here's what Paul said after his conversion, looking back at the days of his old life and his old man. Here's what he said about himself. I was not only a Pharisee, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. The word, the name that they embraced, Pharisee, it literally means, are y'all ready for this? The separatists. The separated one. So, oh, preacher, that sounds good. Paul said, come out from among them and be you separate. But you got to understand that this crowd in their religiosity, they were not practicing Bible separation. They were trying to find rules and more regulations. They were so phobic about the world and the times in which they live that they felt like that if they could just put more rules and standards and barriers and fences up, that would make them more separated, thus making them more holy. And the Lord is telling his disciples, no, 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 no. Leave the leaven of externalism alone. Amen. You see, this group, they were that religious group noted for their adherence to the tradition of the elders. In fact, they embraced the law of Moses, but they went beyond the law of God given through Moses and began to add their own parameters to it. And things got so ridiculous and so crazy because in their external view of religiosity that you literally could not keep up with all the rules. You'd be allowed to do one thing one day, but the next week you would be violating what they'd already permitted you to do because the leaven of externalism, it knows no end. Amen. I could call things out. The externalism that has been practiced in independent fundamental Baptist churches is sickening. I'm for being separated. You know how I preach, and you wait till I get done the message, you'll see it. Amen. But Jesus, the very first thing, the thing that is emphasized first by Matthew and first by Mark is the leaven of the Pharisees. Of all the leaven that is out there, it's not the leaven of a drunkard that is first on the list of the Savior. It's not the leaven of the harlot. It's not the leaven of those that are in rock and roll and rap music. It's not the leaven of those that, my friend, are immoral in the way that they live. And Christ has the emphatic most emphasis that he puts on. It is a crowd of separatists. Said you watch them. You watch them from a distance. Don't get around them long. Because they have leaven. They may look religious. They may look right on the outside. But they have an evil influence that will destroy your spiritual life. Amen. I aim on making everybody mad tonight. Christ, I can't bog down here, but he specifically warned of the leaven of externalism as being a hindrance to one's entrance into heaven. Look with me. I want to slow down just a second. Look with me in Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12, and in verse number 1, the Bible said, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another. We're in another context now, another setting. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, notice that phrase, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He's going to go on and say, they think they've got everything covered up, but the day's coming, God's going to uncover everything they have in their secret life. He's going to expose their critical spirit. He's going to expose the slander and the activities that they do in their conversation behind the scenes to belittle others and run them down. A day is coming. They think it's covered now. God is going to expose their hypocrisy. Why? Because it's externalism. Oh, I love you, sister. I love you. You're so wonderful. I tell you right now, that Betty Renner lady, I can't stand her. You better keep your eye on her. You know what you are? You're a full of the leaven of externalism. Least you could do if you don't like somebody, look at them eyeball to eyeball and say, I don't like you. You'd be better off to act that way than act super duper spiritual and all sweetness and smile. Full of the devil on the inside. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said you better stay away from that. Amen. Can I sound out the warning? And I sound out the warning. Don't care what they look like. Don't care what they sound like. Amen. If they're my friend acting one way and then they get you hemmed up, running everybody else down, that's hypocrisy. You're playing games with people that's going to cut your throat. Say amen. Oh, you say the leaven of externalism. Boy, it can measure everybody up, dress them down, and condemn them for all they do wrong. But you let the preacher preach like he's preaching tonight, they'll blow up like a God-blessed bullfrog. You let somebody look them eyeball to eyeball and say, you're dead wrong, you shouldn't be running your mouth. They'll start cutting them people out of their life. I just tell you who you think you are. I'll tell you something, what you are, you're full of the leaven of externalism. Amen. Jesus said it's hypocrisy. Jeremy, he said that on the day when judgment day comes, don't live your life now fearing an external crowd, amen, that are able to kill the body. He said you better be worried about the one in Luke 12 in just a few verses. He said the one that can kill both body and soul and put you into hell. Because we get worried about what the Pharisees say. I don't know what's happened to me since I turned 40. I've got a can of I don't give a rip. I can't stand Phariseeism. It burns me. I can say that because I'm like Paul. I used to be one. Living for a name. Living for a title. Living for the applause of men. The untouchables, can't touch them. I'm religious. Look at me, I'm separated. I don't wear, fill in the blank. I don't go, fill in the blank. And they sit back, and social media's drove it to a whole new level. Now you can get on social media and call people names. Everybody okay? You know what you are? You're a hypocrite. You can't take nobody rebuking you, but you can call names out in public. Amen. Amen. I know where I'm preaching. I aim to preach it. And if you get mad, you can go home and suck a God-blessed rotten egg. Jesus said, you better watch it. They get so external that all they can see is the outside. They don't have any care about what's going on in somebody's heart. The one you run down, you don't know what they've been through. Amen. The one you trash and call names, you don't know the struggles they have where they're hanging on by a thread and some God-blessed leaven of the Pharisee shows up and begins to manifest itself. Jesus said, boys, you watch out for that. It may look good on the outside. Jesus dressed them down in Matthew 23. Jesus stood up in front of everybody and rebuked them. And here's what he said. He said, boy, you wash the outside, you look real good. Got the cup polished up on the outside. Jesus said, I done seen what's on the inside. Filthy. Not the outside. Nothing you can condemn on the outside. I think Jesus is saying you got such a critical spirit about everybody. Everybody ain't got to do it how you do it. Amen. I'm telling you, it's 11. You say, I ain't got a lot of that. It don't take a lot of that. So how much it take? Just a little leaven. Just a little leaven of externalism. Leaveneth the whole lump. And I'm going to tell you something. You better stay far, far away from that. I know. And listen, I'm a big boy. I can take it. They some already all over the country. They think, oh, Brother Ledbetter, he looks like he may be going a different direction. I ain't going no different direction. I just have my feel of that mean, fundamentalist, judgmental spirit, amen, among the people of God, unto God. Unto God, who do you think you are? Amen. The leaven of externalism. I tell you, I'll never do this or that, and I know they do, and if they was like me, if they was spiritual like I was. Amen. Everybody look on up in here. I ain't changing. Believe in holiness. Men ought to look like men. Women ought to look like women, and it doesn't matter to me who goes a different way. I ain't changing for nobody. Amen. But I tell you what, and you just have to do this. It's live stream. You can send it out and tell everybody I said so. Tell them, go watch it. I'd rather a church full of people didn't have all the externals nailed down. Bring them in. If they got a tender heart, they're willing to sit down and at least hear and consider the Word of God. Let God begin to work in their heart. You can do something with somebody like that who ain't eat up with the leaven of externalism. Amen. I'll take them all. I'll take them all. So we don't want people like that. I tell you, the kind of people we don't want around here is people eat up with externalism. Amen. Jesus said of the Pharisees, oh, you can see the little splinter, the little bitty mote in somebody's eye. You can see it from a long way away. You can't even count the fact you got a telephone pole sticking out of your own. You know what he's telling them? He's telling them you're all eat up in the externalism. Yes, sir. And sure, your brother shouldn't have a mote in his eye, shouldn't have a splinter in his eye. But how are you going to deal with that when you've got issues yourself you need to be working on?
Amen.
See, the leaven, I know we're parking here. I'll be quick, maybe on the other two. But this is the one that Jesus warns about over and over and over and over and over. Amen. And there are a lot of independent fundamental Baptists that if we dropped them back in time 2,000 years ago, they'd have fit right in with the separatists.
Amen.
Jesus said, you have such a critical, judgmental attitude.
Yes, sir.
And it was manifest every time Christ turned around, they're condemning Christ or they're condemning his disciples. And it don't matter what good they are doing, all they can see is they have upset and violated the traditions of what our daddies taught us to do. I want to take time, preach through Matthew 23. You go home, read it tonight. Jesus over and over and over, he busts their hide. Says, you ain't nothing but serpents and vipers and snakes and hypocrites. All you do, you put more on people than they can bear. Yes. And then Jesus made this statement. He said, even ye yourselves can't bear it.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Only reason you do it is because you don't want your buddy being mad at you. But you have the same struggles going on inside of you. You just ain't stepped out maybe like somebody else has. Somebody help me now. The leaven of externalism. Well, y'all like that? Amen. Amen. We could go on Matthew 23. Read it when you get home. Matthew 15. All the places where Christ deals with them. The leaven of the Pharisees, externalism. Let me say number two, the leaven of the Sadducees. Dear Lord, I'm going to preach all night. The leaven of the Sadducees, they are not as well known in the Word of God. They show up several places, a lot of places, not nearly as much as the Pharisees. And yet they're there. You'll find it if you want to write it down, you're taking notes. This is, we see the leaven of externalism, but in the Sadducee, we see the leaven of rationalism. The Sadducees, they lived their life by the direct law of Moses. They say, well, we believe the Bible. We just want to live our life by the Bible. We want to live our life by chapter and verse. But here's the problem with the Sadducees. They are constantly denying and rejecting clear taught doctrines of the Word of God. They denied the existence of angels. That's in the law of Moses. They denied the reality of miracles. There were miracles in the Old Testament. God had done miracle after miracle after miracle. And there it is. I need a chapter and a verse. If it ain't in the Bible, I'm not going to live it. But they have rejected clear doctrinal teachings that are found in the Word of God. Amen. I could go on and on about things that they had rejected. And the reason they denied these certain Bible doctrines, they did so through rationalizing them away. If I can't understand it, then it's not so. Amen. Boy, that's a leaven that's running rampant in our day. Where'd you get in the Word of God? You're supposed to understand it all. The just don't walk by rationalism, they walk by faith. Amen. We don't walk by sight. That Bible gives you some commands and doctrines to believe and to live by. And there is a leaven that is prevailing in our day. It's the same leaven of the Sadducees. It is the leaven of rationalism. Amen. Prove it to me. Okay, here's five verses. Well, that ain't enough. Give me five more. Okay, here's five more. Well, I just don't see it that way. I don't see why it's even all that important. You know what you are? You're a Sadducee. You're going to rationalize away things that God has said, and it may not mean much to you. I promise if it's in the book, it means a lot to the Lord, and it means a lot to your spirituality. And you cannot rationalize away things that God has said in His Word. Rationalism. They had with that, I guess maybe this would be a number 2A and 2B, is a materialism. The Sadducees were known for their wealth and their worldly ambitions and pursuits and their gain financially in succeeding in the eyes of men in worldly ambitions. Amen. That's a leaven that's running rampant in our day. Nothing wrong with working hard, having some ambition. Amen. Be the top dog. Be the best at what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. Unless you just have run into the realm of living your life by materialism. And everybody in the room said, well, I'm off the hook. We're all poor in here. You can be poor and still be materialistic. Most people that are poor are materialistic. I'll tell you right now, not me. I ain't got two pennies to rub together. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. I'm not saying don't work hard. You ought to work hard. You ought to do all you can. Ain't that right?
Yes,
Get the best job you can. Provide some things in life for you and your family, and make them as well off as you can make them. Any human being ought to have those desires. But Paul said there are some, and he said they're going to get worse in the last day, that suppose gain, their gain is godliness. He's talking about the Sadducees.
Yes,
look at all I've accumulated. Look at all I have. Boy, you're not living in rationalism and materialism, are you? That is leaven that will kill you spiritually, corrupt you spiritually, will destroy your spiritual life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Number three, and I'm done. Y'all have had all you can take. I'm about out of steam. Number three, the leaven of the Herodians, or the leaven of Herod. As Mark puts it, he's speaking of Herod and his followers. They're known as the Herodians. We'll see them later on in the Gospel of Mark as they're going to come specifically themselves to the Lord to tempt him like the Pharisees and the Sadducees would do. So many times they're going to get in on it too. Who are the Herodians? They are the political wing of the day.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. When you think about the title that they have embraced and want to be known as and pride themselves in being known as, Herodians, followers and disciples of Herod. Let me tell you something. Herod wasn't a good guy to be following. He's a wicked man. He was a vile man. He was an adulterer. He was a drunkard. Are y'all listening? He was a man who let the woman he was in adultery with bring her young damsel daughter out and dance provocatively in front of him and other grown men. He's a pedophile. And there's a group of men who are following in that lewd, immoral, lascivious life. They want the pleasures that appeal to the flesh. They want to live their life by a certain standard of carnality, being identified with the things that that feed the flesh and feed the appetites of the Adamic nature, and they give themselves to that with no regard for Christ and the Bible and spirituality.
Amen.
In fact, if you call them out for it, they'll get grieved and convicted. Sooner or later, they'll get mad. They'll try to throw the preacher in prison, and eventually they will take him to the chopping block and cut his head off and serve it on a silver platter. That's what the flesh desires to do. Anybody that stands in their way, it's amazing, Herod Antipas. And then you move later on into the book of Acts and Herod. Herod, that was in the days of the book of Acts, how that the church stood against him and preached against him, and he done the same thing that his uncle did. And they're always working and fighting and resisting those that are calling them out of sin.
Right.
Amen. Amen. John the Baptist looked at Herod Antipas and he said, let me tell you something. What you're doing ain't lawful.
That's right.
It ain't right in the eyes of God. Didn't bother Herod one bit. He kept right on in his sin. You know what Jesus said? He said, take heed, beware the leaven of Herod. There is a leaven, there is an unseen, influential evil that you and I are called upon to be on guard against, that we don't start living like, acting like, talking like, looking like all them Herods and all the flesh that is out there.
Right.
You can say what you want. Let me just preach on it. Amen. We're in the summertime. Thank God it's been a little cooler this summer so far than it has the last few. Amen. But it don't make a difference. You let the weather get over about 63 degrees and the women start throwing their booty shorts on. Come on now. Breasts and thighs everywhere. You can't go to the Walmart without being exposed to all sorts of immorality and outright nakedness and nudity. You know what that is? That appeals to the flesh.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right.
These boys walking around, the shirts off.
Yes, sir.
Their little chicken wing arms.
Right.
Act like they big shots. They ain't big shots. They're full of the flesh.
Amen.
You don't find that in the Bible. There ain't nothing about that. So show me chapter and verse. Hey, buddy, it don't take much to understand and know, amen, that there is a, there's supposed to be a shame to nakedness.
Amen.
So I ain't naked, I'm just half naked. Ain't no such thing as half naked. When Adam and Eve got in the garden, fell in sin, and their eyes were open, they seen their nakedness. You know what they done? They went and sewed fig leaves together. They made aprons.
That's right.
You know what God said? They had a covering. I don't want to be uncouth. We're off the radio, so we just saw family here tonight. I done preached my buddy JC out the door. Amen. I done made a friend and lost one. Same service. God said, you still ain't clothed right.
Yes, sir.
They covered all their privates. They covered the privates. God said, you're still naked. Aprons don't work. You know what God made them? God didn't make them aprons. God made them coats and called them coverings.
Amen.
This crowd run around in little short shorts, showing off the legs. I know where I'm preaching. I ain't for none of it. Men ought to look like men and have some decency.
Right. Right.
Mike said, keep your shirt on. That's what Mike said.
Right.
I say amen, Mike.
Amen.
Keep your shirt on. Amen. John's got one of them window tags that keep your shirt on. Amen. Keep your shirt on.
Yes, sir. Amen. Preach.
Be careful how much you let your flesh just do what it wants to do. You don't let the flesh dress itself. It will never attain to a standard of holiness. Ever. Amen. Now, amen. Some of y'all used to preaching when I was getting on the Pharisees. Where'd your shout go?
Amen.
These women, their tight blue jeans, look like they've been a busted can of biscuits.
Amen.
Seen a woman the other, under God, I think Miss Kate was with me, I can't remember, I think it was her, was out walking around somewhere, and this woman had these jeans on, and the whole front of the jeans was ripped out and gone nearly to the ankles. I just looked at it. I mean, how do you take your eyes off that? And that's like a train wreck. Just watch it and go, what in the world?
Right.
Where's the decency gone?
Amen.
Well, you just too old-fashioned. You call me what you want. I told you I ain't changing.
Amen.
I don't care who changes, who goes a different way. I'm just telling you, I'm not changing.
Yes, sir.
I'm against externalism. Here's the word, if you want to write it down, sensualism.
Amen.
Given to the flesh. Given to the flesh. And that's where they're at. But Larry, that leaven's everywhere outside of these four walls.
Amen.
It's everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I tell you where you better be careful drawing your styles from.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
All them Herods that are out there. Yeah, man, you can say what you want, and I know everything ain't wrong, and I understand. I'm not talking about external. Listen, I'm the preacher. I get to challenge people. You don't get to be critical to nobody.
Amen.
Somebody needs judging. You let the Lord and the preacher handle it.
Amen.
All you got to do is just put your arm around. So I love you no matter what you look like. Let the preacher do his thing. Everybody okay? I'm going to tell you, you can't let all the world flashes out there go, ooh, I like that. Now, I may not give you a chapter and verse on some of that, but here's what I'm going to tell us, Brother Larry. If they're adulterers and drunkards and fornicators and they take the name of my Lord in vain, and they don't go to church and they don't know one single Bible verse, I don't think I want to let them kind of people have even a little influence in my life.
Amen.
They make these statements like, well, I'm just trying to be my authentic self. Yeah. My authentic self. I'm just, all these rules, they keep me from expressing the real me.
Amen. That's good preaching.
I've heard that. Amen. I got to be careful. Some words I'd like to use right there. I can't use because I'm preaching. But see me in the parking lot, I'll say them out there. That junk.
Right.
It's got to express my authentic self.
Yeah.
And the minute they get a chance, they look like just like everybody else out there.
That's right. Amen, brother.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're authentic, all right.
Right.
Oh, yeah, you're being your authentic self, a written the number one original. Why do you look like that? I tell you why, because that's how your flesh has been drawn to the Herodians. Sensualism given to self.
Yes, sir.
You young folk better get a hold of it.
Amen.
It doesn't take much. Why do we preach the way we do? Here's what the Bible says now. Jesus said, take heed, beware of the leaven. Externalism, rationalism, sensualism. The Word of God said a little leaven. Not a lot of it. So preacher, I've only got a little issue some of them things. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Right. Amen.
Better get your eye on it. If you got any in there, if we'd be honest, we all probably got some things the way I preached tonight. I've made myself mad. Amen. We all be honest, Brother Larry. We probably all got to purge out a few things.
Yes, sir.
We all could probably check up on some attitudes and spirits and paths we're going down.
Right.
Let's not leave here tonight saying, oh, it's just a little. It ain't that big a deal.
Amen.
Because the whole point of what Jesus is saying is quit focusing on petty things. Get your eyes on just the little leaven that is out there to destroy you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.